LSD. You know, it's a substance with a story.
Yeah.
And a long one at that. I mean, we're talking accidental discovery, talking mind expansion, fears of like messing up your DNA.
Mm.
And now a whole new wave of research. It's pretty wild. You've got some fascinating stuff for us to dig into today. Kind of a then and now look at this whole LSD thing.
Yeah, exactly. We've got this 1971 study from PubMed really digging into the anxieties around LSD back then. You know, could it actually cause genetic damage? And then to see how far we've come, we'll jump to a 2022 article from Science Direct. This one's exploring LSD at the molecular level, like how it interacts with the brain.
So we're tracing the evolution of our knowledge, basically. Because I remember early on, there were some serious concerns about LSD, right? It wasn't all peace and love. So our mission here is to break down what these sources tell us. Those early fears of genetic damage, yeah, but also how LSD might be working in the brain in ways we didn't even conceive of back then. I mean, we're going from broken chromosomes to DNA methylation and brain plasticity. Talk about a scientific journey.
It is, for sure. Let's rewind to 1971. The big question then was, is LSD safe? And a huge part of that was, could it screw with our genes? This study we've got, it was a deep dive into what science knew or thought it knew at the time.
So what was it about LSD that sparked those initial worries? What made people think it might be messing with our DNA?
Well, the 71 study points out that a bunch of early in vitro studies.
In vitro, meaning?
Oh, wait, sorry. Basically, experiments done in the lab outside a living being. So these early in vitro studies, they suggested that if you expose cells to LSD, it can cause breaks in their chromosomes. Actually, about 2/3 of those studies found some kind of damage.
Chromosome breaks? Yikes, that sounds scary.
No.
But what kind of damage exactly were they seeing in those lab experiments?
They mainly talk about chromatid type damage. Imagine a chromosome, it's like two identical strands joined together, right? A chromatid break that's damage to one of those strands. And it usually happens after the cell has already copied its DNA.
Okay, so a very specific event in the cell's life. But you said mainly, so there were other types of damage too.
Yeah, there were some hints of other stuff, but chromatid breaks, that was the main concern in those early studies. The important thing here, though, is that those in vitro experiments, they often used crazy high concentrations of LSD, way higher than what someone would normally take.
Like comparing a drop in the ocean to, I don't know, chugging a gallon of it.
Yeah, pretty much. And get this, even with those massive doses in the test tube, they didn't always find a clear connection. Like, more LSD didn't consistently mean more damage.
That's weird. You'd think if it was just a straight-up toxic effect, there'd be a stronger link.
Exactly. And the researchers in the 71 study, they point this out. These test tube experiments, they're missing a key piece. Our body's natural defenses. I mean, think about your liver, your kidneys. They're always working to process and get rid of stuff, right? That whole detoxification system, it's just not there in a petri dish. So it makes you wonder how much those early lab findings actually apply to a real living person.
Right. So what happens in a dish might not be what happens in you or me. But this 71 study, they didn't just look at test tubes, did they? They also looked at research done in actual living beings.
Yeah, they reviewed 21 studies in total that examined the chromosomes of over 300 people. And within that group, 126 of them had taken, for sure, pure LSD. But there was this larger group, 184 people, they'd taken illicit LSD. So we don't know for sure what they actually took. Could have been mixed with anything.
Yeah, that distinction between pure LSD and whatever's on the street, that seems super important, especially back then before things were, well, you know, more regulated.
Absolutely. And it turns out the results for those two groups, they were pretty different. So in the folks who took pure LSD, only a small percentage, about 14% max, showed more chromosome abnormalities than people who hadn't taken any.
Okay, so a pretty small number.
Right. Now compare that to the group who took illicit LSD. Almost half of them, 49%, had an increase in those abnormalities.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Kind of makes you think that maybe it's not the pure LSD that's the problem, maybe it's other stuff mixed in, or just the lifestyle that often comes with illicit drug use.
Exactly. And when they looked at everyone across all the studies who had chromosome damage, only a tiny fraction, like 17%, had actually used pure LSD. So the 71 study, their big conclusion was, if there is chromosome damage, it's probably more to do with the whole drug abuse picture, not pure LSD itself. Their main takeaway, and this is important, pure LSD in moderate doses, it doesn't seem to cause noticeable chromosome damage in living things.
That's pretty reassuring, considering those early worries.
Yeah.
But they also looked at whether LSD could cause mutations, right? Didn't they do some experiments with fruit flies?
Oh, yeah, they did. Those fruit fly studies, they showed no increase in mutations in their offspring at low to moderate doses of LSD. And we're talking a range here, from 0.28 micrograms per milliliter up to 500.
That's a pretty wide range with no effect.
It is. But they did see an increase in mutations at super high doses, like 2,000 to 10,000 micrograms per milliliter. So based on that, the researchers said, look, LSD is a weak mutagen, if it even is one. And it only shows this effect at these crazy high levels that no human would realistically reach.
So even in fruit flies, it took what would be a massive overdose to even see any mutagenic effect.
Exactly. Now, they also mentioned these really cool experiments using something called circular dichroism. It's basically a way to shine a special light through DNA and see if its shape is changing, even a little. In these experiments, they suggested that LSD could interact directly with DNA cause these tiny twists and turns in its structure. The researchers, their thinking was, okay, these little changes, probably not enough to break chromosomes, but maybe that's behind that weak mutagenicity they saw in the fruit flies at those insane doses.
So like bending the DNA a bit, but not snapping it in half, that's a pretty cool visual. Now, this 71 study, it also looked at concerns about birth defects, didn't it? And other problems with, well, you know, making babies.
Oh, yeah. They addressed that. There were worries about teratogenic effects.
Teratogenic meaning?
Causing birth defects.
Yeah.
So those were a big concern, along with miscarriages and damage to, you know, eggs and sperm. There were early reports of teratogenic effects in hamsters and rats, but the 71 study, they point out those findings weren't really confirmed later on. They looked at 15 studies in rodents, and it was all over the place. Different animals, different genes, even different species all reacted differently. So they said it's hard to say what that means for humans.
Yeah, animal studies can be tricky like that. But what about humans? What did they find there?
So they looked at studies of pregnant women, and they did find a higher rate of miscarriages in women who had used illicit LSD. But, and this is key, no confirmed cases of birth defects in children born to women who took pure LSD. There were 6 cases of birth defects linked to illicit LSD use, and 4 of those involved similar limb deformities. But the researchers were careful to point out that birth defects, sadly, they do happen sometimes, even without any drug use. So those cases with the illicit LSD, they could have just been coincidence.
Correlation doesn't equal causation, right? Especially when you're talking about street drugs where you don't really know what you're getting. But the big takeaway there is no birth defects tied to pure LSD.
Exactly. And based on all that evidence, the researchers concluded no solid proof that pure LSD is teratogenic in humans.
So to sum up the 71 study for our listeners, those initial fears about widespread genetic damage, birth defects from pure LSD, at normal doses, they weren't really backed up by the science.
Yeah, that's a good summary. They basically said, based on what we know, pure LSD in moderate amounts, it doesn't seem to harm chromosomes, cause detectable genetic damage, or lead to birth defects or cancer in humans. And get this, they even suggested that maybe, except during pregnancy, there's no reason to stop controlled research with pure LSD within those dose limits.
That's a pretty bold statement, considering how people felt about LSD back then. All right, so we've laid the groundwork with that 71 study, cleared up some of those early anxieties. Now let's fast forward, like over 50 years, to this 2022 article from Science Direct. And here, it seems like the focus has shifted, right, from those big genetic concerns to something much more specific, like what's happening in the brain itself.
Exactly. This more recent research, it's all about the epigenetic effects of LSD. They're looking at how it might affect something called DNA methylation in the brain.
DNA methylation, for those of us who, you know, haven't cracked open a genetics textbook lately, that's like adding these little chemical tags onto your DNA, right?
Yeah.
And those tags, they can change how your genes are expressed without actually messing with the underlying DNA sequence. It's about which genes are turned on or off or maybe turned up or down.
That's a great way to put it. And this 2022 study, they wanted to see what happens in a very specific part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex in mice, when they're given LSD repeatedly. So they looked at the patterns of these DNA methylation tags across the whole genome, and they also measured the levels of different proteins in the prefrontal cortex.
Why focus on the prefrontal cortex? What's so special about that area?
Well, the prefrontal cortex, it's basically mission control for a lot of our higher level thinking, decision making, all that good stuff. And it's also thought to be involved in a lot of mental health conditions. Plus, other research had shown that LSD can affect how brain cells communicate in this area and even the structure of their connections. So it made sense to look at the molecular effects there.
Okay, makes sense. So what did they find when they gave these mice repeated doses of LSD? Any changes in the DNA methylation patterns?
They sure did. LSD significantly changed DNA methylation at 635 specific spots on the DNA in the mouse prefrontal cortex. You can think of these spots like addresses on the DNA where these little chemical tags like to attach.
So LSD is definitely leaving its mark on the DNA in this key brain region. And what about the protein levels? Did those change too?
They did, they did. In another group of mice, given the same LSD treatment, they found that the levels of 178 different proteins were altered in the prefrontal cortex.
So changes to the DNA, they're actually leading to real changes in the molecules inside the brain cells.
Pretty amazing.
Okay. And did they figure out exactly what these changes meant? Like what brain pathways were affected?
Here's where it gets really interesting, I think. The gene signaling pathways that changed, they're involved in some really essential stuff. Nervous system development, how nerve fibers connect to each other, that's called axon guidance. Synaptic plasticity.
Which is like,
Oh, right, sorry. Synaptic plasticity is the brain's ability to rewire itself, basically. Super important for learning and memory. So LSD seems to affect that. And it also affects the number of brain cells and whether they survive, and even the process of making proteins inside those cells.
wow, that's a lot. It sounds like LSD could be having a pretty broad impact on how the brain works at a really fundamental level.
Yeah, it really does. And they even got more specific. They pinpointed four genes and their corresponding proteins that not only show changes in DNA methylation, but were also being produced more.
Those four must be pretty important then. What are they and what do they do in the brain?
Okay, so first up, coronin 7 or Coro7. This protein, it acts as a guide for axons. Those are the long, thin parts of nerve cells that transmit signals. So Coro7 helps make sure brain circuits are wired up correctly.
So LSD could be affecting how brain connections form and are organized?
Potentially, yeah. The second gene is called PentaEF hand domain containing 1, or PEF1. This one helps regulate a protein complex called mTORC1. mTORC1 is involved in making new proteins and helping cells grow. It's also involved in the cell cycle. Think of mTORC1 like the control center for cell growth and maintenance, which is crucial for brain plasticity.
So LSD might be influencing the very machinery that allows brain cells to adapt and change.
Exactly. Then there's ribosomal protein S24, or RPS24. This one is needed for the maturation of, well, the precursors to ribosomes. Ribosomes are like tiny factories in our cells that make all the proteins we need. And RPS24, it's also involved in making proteins that are necessary for cells to multiply and move.
So LSD might affect how brain cells make the very tools they need to work and change.
It seems that way. And the fourth gene, this one's a mouthful, it's a pyrrolidase domain containing 6 acyl glycerol lipase, but we can just call it ABD6. It's an enzyme that hangs out at synapses, those tiny gaps between brain cells where they communicate, and it helps regulate that communication by breaking down certain molecules.
So LSD could be fine-tuning how brain cells talk to each other at the most basic level. This is getting pretty deep.
Yeah, it is. So the main takeaway from this 2022 study, LSD does affect DNA methylation in the mouse prefrontal cortex. And that leads to changes in genes and the proteins they produce. And those changes, they're all related to how nerves grow, how neurons are supported and survive, and how adaptable the brain is.
Neurotropic, neurotrophic, and neuroplasticity. It's
Yeah.
hitting all the key areas for a healthy, functioning brain.
You got it. And the researchers, they propose that this whole DNA methylation thing, these changes in genes and proteins, this could be a core way that psychedelics do their thing, exert their effects. They even mentioned that other psychiatric drugs, they also affect DNA methylation in brain regions related to the birth of new neurons and brain plasticity. So LSD, it might not be totally unique in this regard.
So it's not just neurons firing randomly, it's more targeted. And the researchers even suggest this epigenetic re-regulation, this DNA methylation stuff, it could be key to why psychedelics might be helpful for mental health conditions, even though, of course, this study wasn't done in humans with those conditions.
That's the idea, yeah. And it's good to note the study is very transparent. They clearly say where their funding came from, and they also disclose a potential conflict of interest because they've got a patent pending on a method for using LSD.
Open science, always a good thing. So here we are from the 71 study, where they basically said, don't worry too much about LSD causing widespread genetic damage, to this 2022 study showing these really specific molecular changes in the brain. It's quite a shift. So how do you connect the dots for our listeners? How has our understanding of LSD evolved?
I think the key is the shift in focus. Those early concerns, the ones the 71 study addressed, they were about LSD causing this broad permanent damage to our genes, right? But the newer research, like this 2022 study, it's suggesting a much more subtle, maybe even reversible influence on how our genes are expressed. It's not about changing the DNA itself. It's about this epigenetic mechanisms like DNA methylation, sort of tweaking how the DNA is used. And importantly, what the 2022 study found, at least in mice, with those repeated moderate doses, is that LSD is impacting specific pathways related to the brain's ability to adapt and function, not that big, scary genetic damage everyone was worried about before.
So it's less about breaking the computer and more about, I don't know, installing a software update. And maybe that update could even be a good thing, depending on the situation. It's amazing how much our understanding has changed from those initial fears to this more nuanced, even kind of optimistic view of how LSD interacts with the brain.
It is. The scientific conversation has totally changed. It's gone from, does LSD wreck our genes, to how does LSD work with the brain at this molecular level, and what does that mean? It's much more sophisticated now.
So for our listeners, after taking this deep dive with us, what are the key takeaways from these two very different studies?
Okay, so big picture. First, those early fears about LSD causing all this widespread, irreversible genetic damage at normal doses, yeah, those were understandable given the early research. But later studies, like that 71 paper we talked about, they've pretty much put those fears to rest. Second, the newer research, like that 2022 study, it shows us that LSD can influence the brain at this really detailed molecular level. It affects the DNA methylation and the production of proteins, especially in important areas like the prefrontal cortex. Third, those molecular changes, they seem to be connected to pathways that are super important for brain development, for keeping neurons alive, and for the brain's ability to change and learn. So that might be how some of the therapeutic effects of LSD work, the ones researchers are studying now. And lastly, I think it's super important to remember that difference the early research highlighted between pure LSD, the kind used in controlled settings, and illicit LSD. Who knows what's in that stuff, right? It could have been those other substances that caused some of those negative effects they saw back then.
All really important points. It's a great reminder that what we know, even about something like LSD, it's been around for a while, can change a lot as science gets better tools and learns more. So for you listening, now that you've got this deeper understanding of how LSD affects the brain, what new questions pop up for you? About its potential, its risks, the future of research on this, honestly, kind of mind-blowing substance. Think about what this all means for how we understand the brain and how we might develop new treatments. It really seems like we're just starting to explore what LSD is all about.